On this episode of the Catholic Echo podcast from the Diocese of Youngstown, we're talking about social media with Bishop David Bonner, Megan Farrell, and Brianna Christman. Find more about this episode's topic, including articles from the Catholic Echo at catholicecho.org/podcast. And now the host of the Catholic Echo podcast, Father Jim Corda.
Hello and welcome to the Catholic Echo podcast. I'm your host, Father Jim Corda. Our show is brought to you by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and Cumulus Media Youngstown. Joining me now is Bishop Bonner. Welcome to our show.
Good morning.
One of the things that we're going to talk about today is social media. When you first came to our diocese and were ordained bishop in the ordinary, one of the first things you did was remind us how important social media is. Why did you do that?
As life changes, it's important that the church changes too. And so we were coming out of the pandemic, beginning our descent out of the pandemic, and it was just an important moment for us to look at how we engage the world. I believe that social media is really the new front door of the church. It's an opportunity to meet and greet, engage, inform our faithful, but it has to be done in a charitable and loving way.
We know that social media can go both ways. It can be good, it can be bad. Hopefully, we are using it for the betterment of our community and for ourselves rather than the other. I'd like to go back to Vatican II, and that is the document we call in Latin Inter Mirifica, which is translated the wonderful gifts, the wonderful technologies. Why do you think back then in 1965 that the bishops of the church wanted to lift up the technologies that were really emerging, radio, television, newspaper, magazines, and now we have the internet? Why is it important for us to recall those gifts as blessings and as gifts from God, but also the right use of those gifts?
What vision of those council fathers to think of such a document and to consider that whole reality and look at where we've come since then. I think it was just a wise moment for them, but I think they also recognize that the church needs to grow with the times, and we cannot sell ourselves short in the sense of our outreach to the faithful or to the world. And certainly communications, and I say this as a communications major from college, communication is a key to life. And it's a key to proclaiming the joy of the gospel as well. So it's another door, it's another avenue to make Christ real and present in our world.
Let's pick up on that whole sense of evangelization, because I think that is probably what was behind the document itself. Evangelization, catechesis, using those gifts for the benefit of the church and the building up of God's kingdom. Let's go to that word evangelization. What exactly does it mean, and who are the evangelizers?
Well, we go back to those first apostles, you know, who walked with Jesus and heard his stories and were part of that oral tradition and were so moved and compelled by it that they felt an urging to keep it going. And of course, some of it was formalized into the Gospels themselves, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it has just continued on throughout our tradition. So it's not just books, it's not just stories, it's people who amplify the voice of Jesus, which is really the good news. It's good news. To evangelize is to share the good news of Jesus. Pope Francis would say it's to proclaim the joy of the gospel. I think that is so foundational in our lives as Catholics.
And I'd like to go to something that the late Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI once called us, and we are digital citizens. You know, so we have at our fingertips the entry into the digital world, and yet we are citizens of that world, but we're also citizens of the kingdom of God. How do we kind of balance the two? How do we be good citizens of the world and citizens of God's kingdom at the same time?
Well, I think it's a matter of remembering who we are and whose we are. We're children of God, and we can't live without Him. And that's the beauty of prayer. Every time we pray, we go back to the source. We're reminded that we can't live in this world alone, that we need God's providence. We need His presence and His peace. This whole idea of the digital universe and just the church's outreach to communications, I was introduced to it as a seminarian when I studied in Rome. I got to give reflections on Vatican Radio. And for years, Vatican Radio has reached out to the farthest corners of the world to proclaim the joy of the gospel and the good news of Jesus Christ.
Well, it's interesting that the church, the Vatican, has used these technologies in a wonderful way. I go back to when Pope St. John Paul II was pontiff. He understood the value and the use of television. I recall many of his visits around the world and how we were able to follow him through the gift of television. We were actually with him with his masses in celebration and gathering with people. Why is it important for us to continue to use those technologies, but to use them in a proper stewardship sense of way?
Well, I think it just brings us closer together. It makes what can seem like a huge world so much smaller. But there needs to be proper care in this pursuit, because one of the innovations of the pandemic, of course, was the live stream mass. Mm-hmm. And what a saving grace that was for a period of time when the churches were closed. But there's really, unless someone is sick or homebound, it doesn't fulfill one's obligation. And there's nothing quite like being there. I mean, our faith is meant to be lived and shared together. And we gather around the altar and we hear with our ears the word, and we receive on our tongues the presence of our Lord Jesus in the Eucharist. And we experience that sense of community, of being one with each other. So it needs to be balanced, and we need to make sure that it is not abused.
And I certainly would totally agree with that, because that's why we call it the Mass for shut-ins. It is for those who cannot get out, those who are ill, those who are confined to their home. So we certainly encourage the folks that are with us to go to church, to attend their local parish, and to gather with that community around the altar of the Word and the Eucharist. I just want, in closing, for us to talk about, with social media, that sense of community versus isolation, because oftentimes when someone uses social media, they do it alone. And so there's that sense of isolation that's built in. How do we balance that, and how could we be more in tuned to not isolate ourselves, especially young people nowadays?
That's an excellent point. I mean, how many times we go out to have a meal and a family of four sitting there at the table, they're not talking to each other, but they're looking at their phones, they're engaging in social media. I think this is a work in progress and something that we really need to be more intentional about and more guarded about, because it is a slippery slope. It's a great wonder that we have this technology. We do need to be careful that we don't turn in on ourselves and manipulate it in a wrong way.
And we would certainly encourage the folks that are with us to use social media in the proper way, the positive way, to build up one another, not to tear down one another. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
The new Catholic Echo podcast will inform and entertain the faithful of the diocese by discussing various topics that are relevant in the church today. Bishop David J. Bonner begins the podcast with your host, Father Jim Korda, on the topic of the day, and then you'll want to hear from those with expertise on that topic. You can listen to the Catholic Echo podcast on WHOT-FM 101, WYFM FM 102.9, WQXK-FM 105.1 on Sundays at 6:30 a.m., or catch it online by going to catholicecho.org/podcast. The Catholic Echo podcast is produced by the Communications Department of the Diocese of Youngstown.
Blessed James Alberioni, the founder of the Society of St. Paul, tells us that our spirituality is essentially Eucharistic. The Eucharist is intimacy with Jesus. It is profound communion with the Master in the mystery of his death and resurrection. It is the experience of salvation, the starting point of a day to be spent in building the kingdom of God. In the Eucharist, our entire being undergoes a transformation that day after day strengthens in us faith, selflessness, transcendence, and a more supernatural spirit. The Eucharist reveals our wounds and heals them. It exposes our pride and self-sufficiency and helps us to become humble and docile. It breaks down our self-defenses and makes us capable of gratitude and generous, joyous self-offering. The Eucharist gives meaning to our earthly pilgrimage by pointing out to us our goal each day, communion with the Trinity and fullness of life in God.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at CatholicEcho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Welcome back to our show. With me now is Megan Farrell, who is a communications manager for the Diocese of Youngstown, in particular, our communication department. Welcome to our show.
Thank you for having me.
You know, we just heard Bishop Bonner's take on social media and how important social media is really in the life of the church. But before we talk a little bit more about that from your perspective, I'd like you to tell the folks a little bit about what you do here at the diocese.
Sure. So as communications manager, I am managing internal projects. Diocesan offices come to us with requests to help promote events or cover campaigns, things like that. And so I help respond to those requests and figure out what level of coverage we can provide. And I also manage our internal publications like the directory, communique.
Let's talk now about social media. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of a phenomenon that we're all familiar with, but it affects us in different ways. You're a mom, so you understand how that comes through your kids and how it can affect them in different ways. I'd like to kind of talk about that perspective for a moment. Not obviously being in that sphere, I don't fully understand how it impacts young children. How does social media really impact young children today?
Since social media really started hitting the mainstream in 2012, you know, my kids were like 2 and 4 at the time. So they were not impacted at that age. But now that they're teenagers, it has to be a balance. We use a lot of parental controls to make sure that they have reasonable amounts of time, but also that access has become completely critical. For example, my son's on a soccer team, and if people need rides or they release the schedule, they're sharing that information on Snapchat instead of texting or email or something like that. So they need to be on certain platforms, but they don't need to be on all of them. And some of them we really have blocked, or we have conversations with them depending on, you know, how safe they are for based on the news and other things like that.
And I would think that as healthy-minded parents, you'd want to do that for your children.
Yeah.
And how can we as adults in general do that for young people?
I think the biggest thing that my husband and I have realized is we have to model it. Mm-hmm. You know, we set our own limits on our own social media. If I find I'm spending too much time on one app, I'll uninstall it for a while. We just try to make that very explicit to our kids that we are doing this for ourselves. We don't charge our phones in our bedrooms. We make sure to do that in another area so we're not tempted to wake up in the middle of the night and start scrolling, doom scrolling as we call it, right? And talking to them about if they give us some information, well, what was your source for that? Oh, it was YouTube. Well, who on YouTube? Who do they work for? Where do they come from? So just, like I said, trying to model and know for ourselves what's safe and healthy, but just being even more vigilant for our children is really important.
Let's talk about how the church uses social media. We know that the diocese uses a variety of platforms to get the word out and the message out, and that is a good thing. But of course, the church has to monitor that too, because it kind of opens itself to comments. So what exactly does the diocese do in the area of social media? How is that controlled in that format?
Sure. So we have certain rules for how we monitor things, or moderating is often what it's called in social media. And moderated spaces are really important to keep from letting conversations delve into hate speech or, you know, really derogatory things. So there are comments, for example, that we will hide. There are sometimes we'll make a post and not allow comments, depending on if it's sensitive. But we do also try to be intentional about being transparent. So if something comes out that, you know, we didn't expect to be news, but all of a sudden somebody's reporting about it, we try to make sure that we are getting that information out as quickly as possible while still giving people time to, like if there's a death, for example, we want the family to know that first, but also we will then maybe release an obituary or a link to that or something so that people know what the truth is of the situation and not their speculation.
Sure. You know, one thing that social media is, it's interactive. So it's not only me communicating what I think and feel, but it's also listening to what someone else thinks and feels or how they react to that. That can be good or bad, depending on the topic. But also, it's an individual thing. So oftentimes, young people, I think, are more prone to isolation in the realm of social media than adults. Is that a true statement, or adults sometimes fall into that isolation as well?
We're seeing that increasingly with adults, that there's larger and larger percentage of people who live alone, so they're not getting that face-to-face contact with people. But, you know, in younger generations, it's going to be even higher percentages. And I think one of the things we try to emphasize is, especially as the church, is that incarnational nature, that love doesn't always have to be in person. We can have spiritual communion, but that physical communion is so important. And so sharing that with our children, and that's backed by science. It's backed by how our brain chemicals work. We feel those love chemicals more when we're in person with people. And so we joke about, there's a phrase in Gen Z called go touch grass. Like if you've spent too much time on a game, somebody will tell you go touch grass, meaning like go outside. Okay. Trying to use their language a little bit, but also hold them to our values, because those are true no matter who we are.
What would you like to tell the folks that are with us, especially in the realm of how the church uses social media and how a healthy-minded Christian should use social media?
I would encourage everyone, if you're on a social media platform, find your parish or find the diocese and like it, follow it. That does a lot for us. It really, sharing things just normalizes our experience as Catholics and helps us grow our reach.
And what are some things that we can do personally that kind of helps us retain that positivity when we go on any platform that involves social media?
One of our rules is keep it short and sweet. So if we can respond with a link to a resource, then great, or one or two sentences. But after that, we encourage people, make a phone call, email, or private message. Don't keep the conversation online all the time, but also, you know, reach out to people on an individual basis. And social media is great for that, keeping that connection with people even when they move.
And one final quick thought to the parents that are with us about social media.
Just keep the conversation open with your kids. Allow them to be honest with you without being judgmental, but also hold the boundaries and use the technology to hold those boundaries, because we do have those parental controls available now.
Great words of wisdom. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in northeastern Ohio? That's more than 150,000 people. In the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
On December the 8th, 1854, in Paris, France, a woman by the name of Marie-Claire Bouliveau founded a community of religious whose purpose was adoration of Jesus in the Eucharist. In 1856, solemn exposition was permitted in their monastery. This date marks the beginning of perpetual adoration in the order of Poor Clares of Perpetual Adoration. Mother Marie Claire chose Thanksgiving as her special end. She wrote, Is it not right that the Eucharistic love of Jesus be glorified by unremitting thanksgiving? It is in that spirit of thanksgiving that her daughters faithfully continue to glorify God through dedication to perpetual adoration.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at CatholicEcho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Joining me is Brianna Christman, who is a social media coordinator, in particular for Catholic Charities here at the Diocese. Welcome to our show.
Hello, thank you for having me.
I know that you've been involved now with the social media platform for Catholic Charities, and what are some of the good things that you have seen us as a church use social media for, in particular for Catholic Charities?
We use it a lot to try to recruit volunteers to help us at all of our locations. Mm-hmm. Items needed. We have Amazon wish lists that we kind of try to share throughout the community to get donations, mostly pulling and trying to get help from the community to support everyone.
Let's talk about that platform of Amazon getting people to donate. I'm not familiar with that, and I would imagine there's a lot of folks that are listening that aren't either familiar with that. Mm-hmm. So talk about that. What's that all about, and how can they utilize that to give to Catholic Charity?
So we have our Amazon account, and we create wish lists for different needs that the community may need. Right now is just working on an Amazon baby wish list. So we're looking for diapers and clothes, different essentials that the community could use. Also working on a homeless outreach wish list. So what we do, we kind of just create a list through Amazon, and you can put all your needs, wish lists, all your wishes on there that the community is looking for. And we kind of just share it throughout the social media platforms and try and get as many donations as we can for that.
Does someone have to actually have that app on their phone or on their device in order to donate? How does that work?
You don't need to have the app. As long as you have an account, you can sign up and make a donation. All the donations will come to us, and then we'll disperse them throughout the locations as needed.
Very good. Now, does that work for all of the different social media platforms through Amazon?
Yes, we can share it through any of our platforms.
Okay, and let's talk about some of those particular platforms. Mm-hmm. What are they, and how do they work?
Okay, so we use Facebook, which is the best tool, best one out there that we use to reach our community. Instagram, along with Twitter, and LinkedIn as well, try to reach more professional.
Let's go back now and talk about Facebook.
Okay.
We know that a lot of people are on Facebook. I actually follow a lot of people on Facebook. I personally don't do postings on Facebook, but you, in your role as a social media coordinator, what are some of the things that you post in particular on Facebook?
Well, there's always something different that we're trying to get the word out about. We always need volunteers, so we're always trying to push volunteers for the diocese. And like I said, items needed, local outreach. We do a lot with the community, so we're always constantly trying to share what we're doing with the community.
Do you work with parishes in particular on getting the word out, and also how parishes can get involved in the giving process?
Yes. So I work with all the parishes. If they need something in particular, just send me over an email, and we kind of work together to help get whatever they need out to the public.
Let's talk about spreading positivity. I think that's something that we as a diocese and as a church and as Christian people really want to ensure that we're doing that, because we know that social media platforms oftentimes are used for other things. But how, as the diocese, how is the church, how is Catholic Charities ensuring the positivity of social media?
Well, we try to just always push positive things when we're posting on social media, even when we respond to people, always making sure it's positive and making sure they know that we're there if they need anything.
Why is that important for us to stay positive? Because we know in kind of the complex world that we live in, that's not always possible.
Yes.
You know? But how do you even personally stay positive in the work that you do?
Being a positive person that I am, it's quite easy. We really just try to look at the bigger picture and try to help out as we can. So it's trying to stay positive for all those people that we are helping out. Mm-hmm. Just makes it that much easier, mm-hmm. knowing that we're helping.
Sure. Let's talk also about those social service agencies, because I think you work with them as well mm-hmm. in getting some of the word out. In your experience with the social service agencies, what are some of the good things that you do that you enjoy doing in the area of social media?
In the area of social media, I enjoy being able to push all of this information to the public, that we are helping people, that we are throwing events to help people. Really, everything I post is knowing that we get to work with the community and help out people in need.
Let's go back to some of those other platforms. Mm-hmm. We talked about Facebook. Let's talk about Instagram. I'm certainly familiar with that myself. I do a lot of postings through Instagram. What are some of the things that you actually do put out on Instagram, and how do people respond to that?
Well, Instagram is morally just like Facebook. They kind of go hand in hand with each other. So we post our daily updates, what we're doing in the community, what we're doing with the community. So it kind of goes hand in hand with Facebook. They get posted about the same thing. Our volunteers that we need, what we can do with the community, what we have been doing.
Let's talk now about Twitter. Of course, it's called X, I believe.
Yes.
So I'm not really familiar with that platform at all. Mm-hmm. So can you talk about that a bit?
So Twitter is a little bit less information than Facebook and Instagram. You can still post your pictures and little captions, but it's kind of more of a short briefing rather than Facebook. You know, you can post paragraphs if you wanted to. Twitter is kind of just short, sweet, to the point.
Okay. And the other you mentioned was LinkedIn. I'm somewhat familiar with that, but for the folks that aren't, how does that work?
So that's more of a professional platform. So we get a lot of people that are advertising jobs, or more of a business platform, where Facebook could be more social for friends and family, where you go to LinkedIn to connect with your professional.
Let's go into that whole idea of how the diocese, in particular Catholic Charities, uses social media to get the word out. Why is it important for us to do that?
I believe it's important for us to do that because that's a really solid way that we connect with the community. So it's making connections with the community and with all of our other agencies. It's kind of one direct way to all be linked together.
And what are some of those other agencies that you work with in order to get the word out?
Some of the other agencies, from Ashtabula, from Mahoning, Trumbull County, all of our different locations.
And what, in closing, would you like to tell the folks that are with us about how they can best use these social media platforms for the good of the community?
Just to always be looking out for what we're posting, what we may need. If you need, would ever like to help with anything, we're always posting what we're in need of. Better help the community as a whole. So just staying in tune every day, staying up to date with our latest updates.
And one final thought about what you really like about your job.
I love being a part of a community that is always helping. It really helps me to stay positive and know that I'm doing positive to our community.
And thank you for being with us. For more information, go to CatholicEcho.org. The Catholic Echo podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Youngstown in cooperation with Cumulus Media Youngstown. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Have a blessed day, and may God be with you.